Welcome to this edition of the Pepperdine People Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Gibson. This series captures some of the outstanding learning and outreach opportunities available here at Pepperdine. Each episode features interviews with exceptional members of our community and the special people who visit our campus.
Thank you for joining us for episode 49 of Pepperdine People. I'm Pete Peterson, Executive Director of the Davenport Institute for Public Engagement and Civic Leadership at Pepperdine School of Public Policy. And I'm joined today by Steve Malanga, Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute and Senior Editor at City Journal. Going to be speaking with Steve about his groundbreaking new piece in the current autumn issue of City Journal, Cali to Business, Get Out. Steve, it's great to have you here.
It's nice to be here.
As you so often do, and as City Journal does as a matter of course, you take on conventional wisdom in an unconventional way. And as the title of this piece so directly connotes, there is a rather contentious relationship between California and business. And so maybe as a way of looking first at the conventional wisdom, most people think that our current fiscal and economic crisis in the state is founded on the real estate boom and bust around 2007, 2008, and that leading up to that point, California from a business perspective had been doing quite well, and that just as like any other business cycle, within the next year or so, California should be back to doing quite well economically. You take on this premise rather directly, and maybe you could talk a little bit about what your research has uncovered.
Yes, well, one of the things we wanted to do is look below the surface. The surface meaning those job numbers that you get every month, which say, you know, you're winning, you're losing, you're winning, you're losing. They don't really tell you too much more than that oftentimes. And I've been aware for quite a number of years now, I would say going back 4 or 5 years, that businesses have been growing increasingly restive and disgruntled in the state. You've been hearing them say this, and you're wondering whether, well, is this just whining or is this indicative of something? And it's a testable hypothesis. And what we did was we took a database, a jobs database that is much deeper than the typical database. It's called a jobs dynamic database. And what's that? Job dynamics, what that does essentially is it not only looks at, you know, are you gaining a job, are you losing a job, but it looks at how the jobs are being created, where they're being created, and it breaks them down into different categories. It looks at whether you're gaining jobs from what's known as job migration, same way that people migrate, jobs leave and they come. It also looks at the way whether new businesses are creating your jobs or whether existing businesses are, and to what how these dynamics all work. And then you can do that, apply that by the industries. And the first thing we found out is that really, if you look at California from 2000 even through 2008, which is just kind of like up to when the jobs decline started in California, it really includes most of the so-called housing boom, that essentially a lot of other industries were in retreat even then, whereas in the 1990s, you had this, you know, the technology-driven boom here that spilled over into a lot of different areas.
From Silicon Valley growing,
exactly.
Right?
What happened really, the 2000s were essentially a function of the real estate, particularly the housing boom or bubble, take your pick, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Many of the jobs came from construction and real estate. And in particular, one of the two things that surprised us, the first thing, perhaps not so surprising, is that California does have an out-migration problem, that when businesses say, I'm tired of California, they actually mean it. And that, in fact, over the course of this database, which exists for 15 years, California was ranked 47th in the country in terms of migration, means it loses more jobs to relocations out of the state than it gains.
47th.
47th, yeah. Now, the number of jobs and relocations is not as great as in the other areas. But the thing that was very, very surprising to us is that in the area of jobs created by new businesses, which is an area that, you know, California is thought of as, you know, the venture capital, certainly for technology of the United States. And we found this tremendous turnaround. In the 1990s, 750,000 jobs created by new firms starting up, net new jobs. From 2000 to 2008, minus 225,000 net jobs from businesses starting up versus businesses failing. So that somehow or another, one of the things that seemed to happen throughout this period was that essentially the entrepreneurial part of the California economy seemed to stall. And I think that's a significant part of the reason we say there may be fundamental structural problems with California that go beyond just the fact that you had a housing bubble here.
You're making a very important point in a unique way, which is to say that for those that think that the current economic slash fiscal crisis in California, that it's all basically pegged to the real estate bubble, that this is really a recent phenomenon from 2007, 2008, and we'll be rebounding shortly from that, that your data shows that it really goes back to 2000 on out. So that's, I think, one very important point to make. The other important point related to how you make it is that your research in this area of employment dynamics, I think it's important for the listener to see that. I think one of the ways that you've put it, I think, is so helpful, that while, for example, job data might say that we gained 50,000 jobs in this last month, what may be happening there is that you may even be losing 400,000 while gaining 450,000. So taking that, it's not, you're not starting from zero, that those job gain or loss numbers really are founded upon a lot of churning and action that's happening underneath the surface. And I wonder if you could just make a finer point on that, on what's happening.
Right. Economists talk about a phenomenon called creative destruction, and that's essentially the one of the ways that economies are transformed. And so you can look at a period where you're either, let's say there's the economy seems to be stagnant. Well, we've bottomed out, but we're not going anywhere. And you think, well, you know, if you look at the national economy, well, we gained 50,000 jobs in the last month, not very much going on. But in fact, that's a net 50,000. That will what really goes on below the surface is you might be creating 450,000 jobs and losing 400,000 jobs. Now, why is that significant? A whole bunch of reasons. For one reason, you know, those 400,000 jobs that you lost, they might have been high-paying manufacturing jobs. They might have been professional technical jobs. Those 450,000 jobs that you gained, they could have been perhaps low-wage jobs. You could be trading one kind of job for another. And in fact, that is one of the other things that we found. Mm-hmm. We compared the 90s to the 2008 era in terms of the industries, but also in terms of the this database lets you look at how much jobs are paying and put them into categories. And we compared that with the average wage in California. And what we found is that in the 90s, for instance, if you looked at jobs that paid a lot more, 150% of the average in California, California gained hundreds of thousands of those jobs in the 90s, practically zero in the 2000s. On the other hand, the biggest category, when we broke them down, in which where California had job gains in the era of 2000-2008 was in jobs that were slightly, somewhat below, up to 25% paying below the average in the state. So there's been a shift going on. It isn't just about how many jobs have we lost. It's about the kind of jobs that were that the state is losing versus the kind of jobs that they're gaining. And really, it's only when the dust settles that we'll kind of look around and people look around and say, there was a lot going on here besides just the housing bust.
I think it's a very important point that you raise there, that it's, again, above the surface of the waterline, you just see maybe 25,000 jobs gained, lost, maybe 50, maybe 100,000. But what those jobs are, where they're coming from, I think is really what's so exciting about the research that you're doing. Now, this all begs the question then, why? Right. If we're going to take on conventional wisdom that said, well, it's just a housing bubble, and once we kind of sort out through the mortgages and the repossessions and foreclosures, things will get back to normal. You're saying that there are things that are much more institutional, some institutional reasons that are underlying this. What are some of the reasons that you're seeing that are promoting this very difficult business environment for the state?
Well, you know, again, I go back to what we originally decided to look at this data because businesses were saying this was getting to be a very difficult place to do business. And in fact, as I point out in this piece, Chief Executive Magazine surveys business executives, 550 executives from around the country every year. And seven straight years, they voted California the toughest place in the country to do business. It is because, first of all, people don't realize that California has the second highest business tax burden in the country. People tend to think this is not a high or it's a medium tax state, but a lot of the taxes have actually been, the taxes that we do raise in California have been raised on businesses. It also has the, by far, the toughest regulatory environment where there are rules and regulations that exist here that are far tougher than federal standards. And that raises the cost of doing business. And we've seen some of this. We've seen, for instance, a CEO by the name of Andrew Pusder from CKE Restaurants or Carl's and Hardee's, who wrote a piece in the op-ed in the Public Policy, California Policy Review, in which he said, you know, look, it takes us almost a year or more potentially to open a new restaurant in California because of all the approvals we have to get. And we could go to a state like Texas and do it in 6 weeks. That's an enormous cost for us.
Now, this is a chain fast food restaurant.
Yeah, right.
We're not talking about
a manufacturing facility. We're not talking about a nuclear power plant. We're talking about a restaurant, you know, a place where you go and have a, you know, Friday dinner with your kids.
Right.
So yes, I do think policy matters in this particular, because really California has so many advantages other than the weather, obviously,
right.
Great universities, a great installed infrastructure, a lot of advantages, but the advantages are not absolute. States do reach a tipping point. You know, California replaced New York as the state that was the most dynamic engine of the economy. And New York made a lot of policy mistakes, and it declined. And New York, when it was declining, New York's leaders said, well, we're declining, but we'll always be number one, and you always come back. And the fact of the matter is states, cities, and nations do decline. So it's not a slam dunk that California will be what it was in the 90s or what it was in the 70s and the 60s or the 80s, take your pick. It is about public policy.
You made the point earlier, and I think it's again, another example of looking at history that this understanding that businesses are always going to come back, that there's something uniquely great here, that businesses are always going to be ready to surmount these obstacles. Just looking at New York and what's happened there, even with the financial sector, that you're seeing a lot of jobs that many people and past mayors and other public officials have said, well, we're the financial capital of the world. People have to stay here no matter what taxes we levy and what kind of fees and other obligations we put on. And just really because of the internet and some other issues related to mobility, those jobs do not have to be there. And you've definitely seen those jobs leave Manhattan.
Well, and I think that when you score so poorly on job migration, for instance, jobs leaving, that's sending a message. Again, there are other ways that you create jobs. And so I've heard people say, well, good riddance to those people if they don't want to be in California. I've heard them say it about New York City. Good riddance if they want to be here. We're the best. We're the greatest. Who could not want to live in Manhattan? You know, you hear people say that. But the truth of the matter is that that tells you something about the business environment. And again, I think that states that have and cities that have a lot of attraction, like California or a New York City, they don't have to be absolutely the lowest or the least regulated. But there's a tipping point, and a tipping point at which it just costs too much. And California may be in danger. I think in some industries, in some areas, it's reached its tipping point.
Well, I think to close, I think one of the interesting things as we record this today, the news has just been released that once again, revenues into the state are coming in several billion dollars below forecast. And for those that are that like it or not, revenues are tied to business activity and production. And if these policies continue, if what I'm hearing you say continues, then you're not only looking at reduction in businesses being here, but you're also looking at reduction in revenues that are coming back to support the public policies that really do in many ways make the state great.
Well, that's exactly right. Let's put it this way. The best way for a state or a city that's in a fiscal pickle, if you will, the best way to get out of that, frankly, is to grow your way out of it. And California's not doing that right now, and it may need to look more closely at the policies that it has if it's going to grow its way out of it again, as opposed to, you know, cutting your way out of it or taxing your way out of it, which can lead you into a destructive cycle.
Steve, thanks so much.
Welcome.
Again, we've been speaking with Steve Malanga, a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and senior editor at the City Journal. He's been speaking about his recent article, Cali to Business, Get Out, which appears in the current issue of City Journal. You can find it at city-journal.org. Again, this is Pete Peterson for Pepperdine People. Thanks for listening.